Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 199. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road to 200. Next week will be the 200th episode. And on this road to 200, we will continue to bring you the hottest talent in all of the world. And speaking of the world, we are going a little bit of lucha on you. And I am so excited to introduce to you our guest. First of all, of course, I am Chris Featherstone, your host. As always, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter and on Facebook at Crave Wrestling, and we will just continue to give you action-packed, wonderful, wonderful content every week. Thank you so much for your support. Amazing numbers last week, and we got some announcements for you. But without further ado, we're going to go a little lucha on you and introduce the inaugural Lucha Underground champion. Unfortunately, the former champion now, but we'll talk a little bit about it and what's going on and what's the future, what the future holds. I would like to bring to you right now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Ricochet, a.k.a. Prince Puma. How are you tonight, sir?
I am actually doing pretty good right now.
Awesome. It's great to have you. I appreciate you being available for us tonight, and
no problem.
I appreciate your time, man. Absolutely. So a lot of people know about you, and there's some who don't. So let's take a bit of a history lesson of who you are and how you developed to be such an amazing wrestler, such a highly acclaimed wrestler. So let's go all the way back to when you started. So let everybody know when you started and who trained you and what inspired you to become a professional wrestler.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, well, I had, honestly, like, cause everybody always has the story, everybody, like, or at least, I don't know everybody, but most people that I know, most of my friends, most wrestlers that I know, they're always like, you know, I wanted to be a wrestler since I was 2 years old or whatever, you know. But my story really isn't like that. Whenever I was like, I always played football whenever I was younger. Like, I played football from when I was like three, or maybe four even. I don't know. I was real young, little kiddie football, you know, all the way until I was like, I don't know, I guess I started wrestling at 14, so I played football for quite some time. I always liked wrestling. I never, you know, from what I can remember as a kid, I always liked it. But, and me and my friends would joke around, obviously, and we'd be like, oh, we're going to be tag team champions one day. But I never really thought that was true or even really, I was just playing around with my friends. But then one day, it's really weird, one day my best friend at the time, his dad knew a guy who owned like the supermarket. And at the supermarket, there was this kid that worked there who was a wrestler. And so my buddy's dad was like, hey, I could probably get you guys tickets to this wrestling show. And we're like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Let's do it. And so he got some tickets to this show, and it was like just a small little show. And, I mean, they were in someone's backyard, but, like, the only reason they were in the backyard was they didn't have a building. They had, like, concessions, but it was, like, hot dogs and chips and things like that and sodas and stuff that they sold. And they had pretty cool, like, school bus seats, like two or three rows surrounding the ring. So it was like a little bitty, like, cool little thing. And one of the guys took, like, carpentry or something. And he, like, in high school, and he made, like, this cool little entranceway. So they had everything. They just didn't have a building. And it was called Chaos Pro Wrestling in Brookport, Illinois. It's probably about as far south as you can get Illinois. But, yeah, we went to the show, and it was really fun for us. You know, we're watching these kids do cool stuff. And then, I say kids, they're all, like, 5 years older than us. But whatever, they're doing it. Then they asked me and my friend if we wanted to, like, stay after and play around in the ring or whatever. And we're like, yeah, sure, that'd be cool. And we get in the ring, and they saw that we were, like, pretty athletic. And they asked if we wanted to start training. And we're like, oh, I mean, I guess we can. Sure, why not? And it was, like that. Like, instantly I was like, oh, man, this is, like, really fun. And even then, like, I never thought, oh, I'm going to be in the WWE. F one day, I'm going to be the WWE, or I never thought that. I was just there because it was fun. These guys were cool, and, you know, it was something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went from there. Like, I trained for almost a year, maybe a year. Then on my birthday, October 11th, 2003, we had a show, and they were like, you want to be on it? And, like, you can be, like, your first day or whatever. And we're like, yeah, it'd be great. And so that was my very first match, and it was not good, obviously. But then, like, again, things just went from there.
Wow. You know what? And it's so funny because you said something about, you know, people have their types of stories. Like, yeah, I was looking at this person. I wanted to be that guy. That's a very unique story that you just gave as far as just, you were just at the right place at the right time. Opportunity really presented itself. The opportunity to become a wrestler really presented itself to you as opposed to you presenting yourself to wrestling. So that's absolutely amazing. Was there anybody as a kid that you kind of emulated to try to, when you first started, was like there a particular style that you wanted to mimic, or was it just, you know, trial and error?
Like, because, again, like, especially at this time, I didn't know there was Japanese wrestling. I didn't know there was Mexican wrestling. I didn't even know there were other indies, as you would call them, like, in the United States. All I knew was, like, WWE, or at the time, WWF, you know? So, yeah, like, obviously, like, I knew, like, WCW, too. So I knew, like, my Rey Mysterios and that, because he could do all the cool flips. Obviously, that's all I liked. I liked the Hardy Boys and, like, those guys. And obviously, like, my favorite wrestler is The Rock. He just always, I was always watching, I was always on the TV whenever he was on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, and so at the time, I didn't have the charisma The Rock had because I was, like, this, like, little kid, little skinny kid. I didn't think I was even cool. So I was just watching trying to emulate like Rams Jurio and do flips and head scissors and stuff. Like, so he definitely is one of the guys. Eddie Guerrero, those guys are definitely like the guys who, I guess, especially at first, those are two be like those guys.
Wow. So you mentioned Chaos Pro Wrestling, and how did the name Ricochet come about?
I guess it just kind of, I don't know, because the day was coming up for our first show, you know, so we're all trying to figure out our names. And my friend, because it was going to be a triple threat because there were like three of us. Anyways, my friend, he had like this blue, like, jumpsuit thing, with like a mechanics, like, thing it looked like. It was like blue. And then he had this, like, blue mask that he ordered off the internet. I think it was a cat mask, some sort of cat mask, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to call himself Kana Azul. It was, like, blue cat. And at the time, he thought it was cool, but looking back, it was really funny. And then I had a bunch of names written down. I can't remember any of them at the moment, but one of them was Ricochet. And I remember not really wanting Ricochet. For one, because I think Mucha Lucha was on at the time, people thinking I was copying that. But then, I don't know, I kind of always wanted like a two-named name, like, for example, Johnny Gargano or Chuck Taylor or something like that, Rich Swann. So I was trying to think of a cool two-named name, and I just could never think of one. And finally the day came, and everyone's like, just pick Ricochet, it's pretty cool, and the definition fits your flippy stuff and all that stuff. And I was like, man, all right, I guess I'll choose that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't even really want it. And for a long time, I didn't really like it. But I'm glad I picked it. I'm really glad. I really like it to this day now.
Yeah. Yeah, it works. I mean, you know, a dozen years later, people certainly know why your name is Ricochet, because it totally describes your wrestling style for sure. So,
but yeah,
so what was your main?
At first, I really didn't want it. I really was like, man, I don't want to be Ricochet.
Right, right. And again, Ricochet presented itself to you. You didn't embrace it in the beginning, and then now you embrace
Crazy.
It. Again, it just goes with this story.
Mm-hmm.
Just the 180. Yeah, very interesting there. So what was your first major break? You battled as Ricochet. I know that you were doing some stuff in the IWA, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, actually, because I guess I was really trained by a bunch of people. It wasn't just like one person, but one of them was like Chuck Taylor. He helped train me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy there. His name's Will, but he went by Kid Sinister. But he helped train me a lot. A guy named Brandon Thunderbolt Walker, he helped train me a lot. But Chuck Taylor, he always made, like, the music videos because he, like, went to school for, like, editing and stuff. So he would always make these videos of all the guys and stuff, and he would, like, just put them on YouTube or send them out, and he would always put his email at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I can remember, like, the first, like, named company at the time that we worked for, or at least I worked for, this is all I can remember, was IPW in Indianapolis, Indiana, Vanity
mm-hmm.
Pro Wrestling. Me and Chuck Taylor and some of the guys, we went there for a couple shows, you know, doing our thing, and then that's when Ian Rotten had got a hold of us, but he saw some of our stuff from that, and he asked us to come to IWA Mid-South, and we were like, yeah, that'd be great, that'd be freaking great. So we started doing IWA Mid-South, and then from there into like CZW and Jakarta and here and there, we started doing all this stuff within like the same year, and it just blew up like insane.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can remember is IPW in Indianapolis, Indiana.
IPW, so that's your monumental I guess your pivotal moment that really kind of launched you up to the more better opportunities is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, kind of like because that's the first because I did a bunch of like Tennessee and Illinois and Indiana shows, but I never did anything that was like considered real cool in the Indies, and IPW was one of the first like real cool ones that I remember doing.
Wow. Anybody in particular you remember going against?
Well, I mean, most of the time it was always just Chuck Taylor. I wrestled Chuck Taylor 300 times. But I had some good matches with Dave and Jake Crist, who were the Irish Airborne. Those guys, we had real good ones. Wrestled Billy Rock a whole bunch of times. He's a guy from around the Indianapolis area. I had some good ones there with, at least, I mean, like, they probably aren't good now, but at the time, I remember being like, oh, that wasn't bad. But going back and watching them now, I'm sure they were horrible. Me and Kyle O'Reilly had one there.
Oh, Kyle O'Reilly, ROH, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me and A.R. Fox had a pretty good one there. Yeah, man, that was a fun little company.
And what year were you here?
Oh, man, it had to be 2005, maybe.
Wow.
Because I think I started with IWA in like 2006.
Wow. So that was a pretty interesting transition there. So you went to from IPW to IWA, and you mentioned Combat Zone, CZW, and of course, two of the best prodigies that came out of there, of course, was John Moxley, now the Intercontinental Champion, Dean Ambrose, and former ROH champion Adam Cole. Did you go against any either one of those, either one of them in CZW?
Not in CZW, but I wrestled John Moxley in IWA. Then I wrestled Adam Cole in Evolve.
Okay. Yeah, Evolve. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who are now partnering with the WWE, interestingly. So.
Yeah, wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, very, very crazy. So your time in CZW, let us know a little bit more about that. Of course, a lot of people don't know what Combat Zone is. You know, it's definitely more of a hardcore style, a lot of, a lot of hardcore, a lot of foreign objects and things like that. Was it tough for you to kind of integrate in that style, or did you fit right in?
Oh no, because CZW is known for ultra violence, but it actually had some really good wrestlers on the show too. Just like really diverse, actually a really diverse show because they had the high flying, the hardcore, they had the strong style. They really had it all. But in my time at CZW is actually pretty short. I can only think of like maybe 6-7 times I wrestled there. Because I don't really know why, but I think my time at CZW is pretty short, mostly because I think I was doing Chikara a lot back then. And I don't know, I just remember doing more Chikara than any CZW.
Yeah, so let's talk about Chikara for a little bit. So course, a lot. Chikara, with CZW, you got more, a hardcore style, ultra violence. So, but with Chikara, it's more like an integration. It's more of like a focus of characters. They're very character heavy, and two prodigies, two big names that came from Chikara. There's been a few, but Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, which is now Cesaro. So did you go against any of them, or what names that a lot of people know now? Go ahead.
One of my first really big matches was against them. I remember Claudio, and it was wild. He was like throwing me all over the place, especially because at the time I couldn't have weighed 115 pounds. And Claudio was literally the strongest person on the earth. So he was throwing me all over, but it was really cool, and I was real nervous, I remember. But at the end, it was a really, really good match, especially for me at the time. Probably because Cole was in there making it real good. And then I remember I wrestled Chris in Hellertown, Pennsylvania. And I remember being so nervous on that one, too. I was like, man, he's going to hit me so hard. But he was, like, the best. He was so good.
So what do you think about, as far as Claudio is concerned, you know, there's been so many times where the WWE, you know, has had that opportunity to really push him and make him a main event star. Do you think the WWE's dropped the ball on that? And what do you think about Claudio that is hurting him from getting a push?
I don't know if they've dropped the ball or not. I mean, they've obviously – they make millions and millions of dollars. Like, so, I mean, they've obviously done something right. They know what they're doing. And he's still got a job there. And they are still using him. Who knows if they're using him right or wrong. I mean, he's still – getting over, he's getting his cheers, he's getting his money, he's getting, you know, everything. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now, but when he comes back, like, I mean, I really don't know if they're using him right or wrong. Like, of course, like, he's my friend, I want to see him champion, I want to see him do everything, but, you know, there's always a path for everybody, and maybe he just hasn't hit his yet, but I think eventually, like, the talent will outshine everything, and people will see, like, how good he really is, and maybe they'll use him more, but
like yeah, said, he's just had so many opportunities. Like, he's so over, and his I mean his wrestling alone is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
the WWE, you know, it's tough to see a lot of times, you know, how they book Cesaro, because you know he'll be on such a high and such a you know a good upward direction, and he'll just start losing a bunch of matches. So a lot of times, you know, I'm a big Cesaro fan. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the galaxy, you know, it's tough, you know, it's tough to see that a lot of times. So, you know, you were talking about your size, you were a slinky guy, you know, when you first came, and of course, you know, you got some depth and some muscle mass, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You looked a lot of girth. Yeah, that's the word I was thinking about too. I was about to say that, but cheeseburger. You looked a lot of like cheeseburger from ROH.
He probably weighs more than me.
Cheeseburger weighed more than you do. Whoa, that's saying a lot too.
I was just really skinny, man. So skinny.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what was the transformation like? What did you do to, you know, to actually have some a good size from being skinny?
Well, it really started when I went to Japan for the first couple times back in, like, 2010. Yeah, I got there, and I was, you know, Pac, who is now Adrian Neville, Pac was over there with me, and since from being over there, I guess he just had this such a business mind. He was like, we're here for business, to wrestle and work out and become the best we can. And so that kind of, especially until then, I kind of always just wrestled. I loved it at the time, but I really didn't know how much I did until I started going to Japan and really focusing on wrestling and becoming the best I can be. That's when I really was like, oh, I'm actually like pretty decent at this. Like, and I slowly like started just loving. I mean, again, like I said, I always loved it when I was in the ring and wrestling, but not until I started going to Japan did I just really, I guess, fall in love with it. And like I said, Pac was in such that business mind, you want to be the best, and I was like, I want to be the best too, so I started working out, and we like worked out and diet and wrestled and ate and worked out and like just became the best we could be, and it's like he has a crucial part in helping me like get to the gym and learn more about all that too.
Yeah, because so, you know, Pac or Neville was the same way, because he was very, very, very skinny too.
Exactly.
When he started off. Yeah, and he got he's pretty jacked up now. How long did it take? How long did it take for that regimen to really produce results?
Well, like I said, when I first went in 2010, I was like 130 pounds, 135 maybe. And now I'm sitting at like 195, 196.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was just like, it's just been a slow process. Like, it's been ever since then, it's just been a slow process I've been gaining. But, I mean, within the first, like, couple tours, I start seeing a bit more size here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, like, guys are like, oh, you got a little bit bigger. And I'm like, really, I didn't notice. But I guess from the first couple months, if you're really serious about it and you eat enough and you work out enough and you get enough rest, like, you'll start seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – yeah, and we've seen that, you know, like I said, with a few wrestlers, yourself and, of course, Neville. Yeah, so basically, let's talk about your time in Takara a little bit more as far as – was it Helios?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, so you were a masked wrestler, and then there were some issues that basically you won something. How did that come about? Basically, they revealed that you were Ricochet, and how did that storyline come about?
Well, again, because I only wrestled Chuck Taylor at the time. Chuck Taylor and I had a bunch of like matches together, and I think we were the finals of the Young Lions Cup one year. And he ended up winning the Young Lions Cup. But then I think I challenged him to a match. Well, maybe he challenged me to the match. He was like, I'll give you another shot or something, but the loser can never show their face in Chicago again. And obviously I accepted. We had the match and I ended up losing, so Ricochet could never show his face in Chicago again. And then I think I was gone for 2 or 3 months or something, but I was gone for a couple of shows. And then finally I came back and I was in this Helios gimmick. And he was like, no, that's Ricochet. And everyone in the crowd obviously plays along. And they were saying, no, we don't know who this is. This is the first time I've ever seen him. It was pretty cool. And then I came back at Helios and I won the cup. And there was a cool whole story about how Chuck Taylor is becoming crazy, saying that Helios is Ricochet, and people were like, no, he's not, and it was pretty cool, though. But then, I eventually came back, and I won the cup from him, and, yeah.
that's pretty awesome. Yeah, because that reminds me of, I'm just a big wrestling historian. I remember the Machines back in the 80s, and how when Andre the Giant was Giant Machine, and, you know, Bobby Heenan, when they came in as the Machines, you know, him and, you know, Big Machine and Super Machine, Blackjack Mulligan and who became Demolition Axe. Just that whole, it was that whole gimmick too, you know. Heenan was like, yeah, you know, that's Andre the Giant, you know, fire him, you know, and people just not, people just playing to like, I don't know who that is, you know, just like Andre the Giant. So yeah, it was, I love stuff like that. That was a pretty interesting, I like how y'all brought the tradition of that, you know, to a storyline. It was really cool.
Oh yeah, that was all Quack. He was like genius when it came to stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went to Evolve in DG USA. So
yes.
Let us know your about your time in Dragon Gate. What's some of the best matches you remember having?
Oh man, there's like, well, I don't even know if they're my best matches, but there's just some that I'm just connected with that I just love so much. There's like so many that even count. Like I know. Two or three or four of just ones I can remember with Pac or whatever. No, now Adrian Neville. I had some with Shima, Doi. I remember me and Shima tagged against Pac and Yoshino. One of them was a couple of years ago. I wrestled Johnny Gargano in Dragon Gate USA for the Freedom Gate title. I really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, there's so many, really.
You were a heel in Dragon Gate, right?
I was for a cool minute. I was in Blood Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, like, just big stable dudes that were taking over Dragon Gate for a while, yeah.
How was it being a heel?
Oh, it's great. No, man, it's great. I wish I could have done it later in Dragon Gate, like, especially in Japan, being a heel, because later, like, after Blood Warriors, I was just always a face.
Yeah.
And I wish they would let me turn. It would have been so much more fun, I think, once they, you know, got more connected with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had some time in too, right? Of course, a lot of people know, you know, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you know, the Roderick Strongs and the Joey Ryans and, of course, the El Genericos and Brian Cages of this world. So what are some notable times you've had in PWG?
And actually, my first match in PWG was against Claudio.
Okay.
Yeah, and that one was really good, except for there was one point in the match when I was supposed to do a springboard like Dragon Rana, but instead I springboard front foot, like drop kicked him right in the eyeball, and it like swole up, and it was like black and blue, and I felt so bad.
Wow.
But other than that, the match was really good.
Mm.
And then I wrestled El Generico there, and it was great. I remember just getting wrestled like some like really, really like top indie dudes, and it was just so much fun and so much of a learning experience.
Have you ever been the recipient of the El Generico's Brain Buster?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I think something happened, boom, and my nose started bleeding a little bit, too, after one of them. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's great to see, you know, people like Claudio and Generico, Dean, you know, he was in PWG as well. You know, they all three of them became very important and prominent, you know, players in NXT. And of course, Steen, you know, he became, you know, Intercontinental Champion and had a really good run at NXT too. Sammy, he became NXT Champion. Sami Zayn or El Generico became NXT Champion. So, you know, is it something that you kind of desire to be in the WWE or to be in NXT at all?
Yeah, I mean, definitely one day it would be cool. But right now there's a lot of things I want to do. There's like a lot of things I want to do with New Japan still. There's a lot of places I still kind of want to go. And there's just a couple of things I want to do before I go down that road. But definitely one day I would like to be there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you're still in your 20s, so there's a lot of time to go, you know, with you. So as far as, you know, things that you still want to do, you mentioned New Japan. So, you know, you were a part of, first of all, last year you were a part of the Junior Cup and the tag team, and you won it with Matt Sydal. I interviewed him a few weeks ago. And then you had such an amazing match at Wrestle Kingdom 10, which I can just continue to put over. I just absolutely loved that pay-per-view. Yeah, it was, because the thing is, I loved 9. I loved Wrestle Kingdom 9. And, yeah. I mean, I really didn't know, that New Japan could top 9, but New Japan did win a top with 10. 10 was absolutely an incredible pay-per-view. And you had, you know, the pleasure to open that in the four-way with, I think it was you and Matt Sydal against Roppongi Vice, the Young Bucks, and Red Dragon, right?
Red Dragon, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how was it being in the Tokyo Dome and competing at Wrestle Kingdom?
Insane. We got to the building, you know, earlier in the day, and let us in. I'm just walking around and looking. And it was the biggest thing on planet Earth. It felt like, at least. I was just looking at all the seats, and I was in the middle of the ring, like, looking, man. It was such a big place. And then as soon as we, like, me and Matt walked out of the curtain and we were on the ramp, and then we seen all the people filled up and all the seats, it was, oh, man, it was crazy. It's like, you know, this is what it's about. Like, oh, man, it's like exactly what you would hope for, you know. It's what you want to do, and I don't know, man. It's hard to even describe. I'm, like, stumbling over my words. It's hard to even describe. It was just so cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that we got to open, like, WrestleMania 10, like, Wrestle Kingdom 10, sorry.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like a privilege, really, man.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. Yeah, as much
like
as you've accomplished. Yeah, as much as you've accomplished, you know, to still stay that humble is definitely, definitely admirable. So speaking of WrestleMania, you kind of slipped there, but I did want to bring that up a little bit because you were talking about just, you know, big names and big lights. So if you had an opportunity to compete at WrestleMania 32, who on the active roster would you compete against?
Is this like singles match or tag team match or what?
Whatever you want to do.
Oh, I don't know. That's kind of a hard question. But I guess if we were going singles match, if I had a choice, I would pick. I'd like to have a match with Sami Zayn.
That would just tear the roof off.
I would love that.
Yeah.
If we're going tag team match, maybe me and Rich Swann versus, oh man, it's so hard. There's so many cool people, dude. Maybe Apollo Crews and maybe Neville.
That will once again tear the house down. Sure, yeah. So you mentioned Cruz. You mentioned Cruz. Where do you see his future in the WWE?
Oh, man, he can do anything he wants to, man. He's the best. He's like, there's no limit for him.
And this is based on
a superstar.
This is based on your experience with him and just watching him over the years?
Yes. I was there on his very first Dragon USA tryout match. It was like, dude didn't even have, $50 to his name to pay for the tryout. And look at him now, he, like, owns the world. Like,
wow.
And along that whole time, he's still, like, the nicest guy possible. He's a really cool dude. Yeah, he's awesome. And he deserves everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I've been real big on Apollo Crews or Lucha Nation. Just, you know, years ago, I started following his work. And, just an amazing arsenal, amazing moveset. And,
I
think
had one of my favorite matches in Dragon Gate I've ever had, too.
Really? Okay. What year was this?
Yeah. 2014, maybe?
Okay, so relatively recently.
It was when I was Dreamgate champion. We had a match at Cork, and we were the main event.
It was the first ever
like foreigner versus foreigner Dreamgate main event title match like that Dragon Gate's ever had. So the
Gaijins rule the night. Yeah, ruled the night. Yeah, the Gaijins. Yeah,
and then even then, like they were kind of nervous about it, but it was so cool because Shima called us up to the front and he showed us this little sign, and he said that the sign said no vacancy, like sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So like even though like because they were kind of worried about you know the foreigner versus foreigner for the main belt wouldn't. Much, you know, they were just worried, but they were so proud, and you know, it sold out, and we were like, "Oh crap! Like, that's insane!" I don't know, it was just a cool feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Lucha Nation, yeah.
I mean, just on paper, you know, Ricochet versus you know, well, Lucha Nation at the time, you know, that's just on paper that's a stellar match. So. Lastly, let's talk about some Lucha Underground for a little
bit.
Yeah,
definitely.
So how in the world did the producers of Lucha Underground, how did they recruit you? Why you? Like, what did they say about you?
Honestly, this is probably a pretty crazy story, too. This is a pretty crazy story, too. Conan had actually been trying to hit me up for, like, a long time. I remember Conan calling me all the time, calling me. And he's telling me about this new thing. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what we're going to say? We got Robert Rodriguez and Mark Brunette. You know, the guy who made, like, Survivor and Shark Tank and every show basically ever invented on cable. And then he just keep telling me about this Lucha Underground. And at first I kept saying, yeah, cool, maybe I'll think about it. But in my head I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to do it. And this, I mean, he called me for like months. And I just kept saying, yeah, I'll think about it, maybe. But in my head I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. And because, I don't know if you remember Wrestling Society X.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So, like, really cool concept, like bad delivery, you know?
Right.
And that's what I thought this was going to be. I'm like, I don't want to be a part of that again. Like, when people think of me, I don't want them to think of something bad or, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, just a failed project.
Yeah, but, like, it had a really cool concept, like, edgy and, like, something new, like, really cool concept. It's just, you know, and all the wrestlers were good. They had, like, Matt Sydal and B-Boy and Jack Evans and some of the Dragon Gate guys. Coco Band, they had so many good people, but, you know, it's not
speaking,
that.
Yeah, speaking of Lucha Underground, they had Vampiro.
Yeah, they had Vampiro. Yeah, so I was just worried, as I kept saying no. And then finally, one time I was out for PWG, and they had called me to, like, Univision, my offices, and one of the guys who helped me, his name was Sean Fogelman, he helped. He, like, pulled me in one of the offices and, like, had a meeting with me and, like, showed me all these, like, skits and all these pictures and told me the whole plan, what they're going to do with it, and I was, like, pretty interested, and they took me to the set of where it's going to be, and they had, like, the temple, you know, and they were showing me around. It looked real cool. And I was like, oh, man, this is so cool. And I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I'll think about it. And then they're like, we got to know soon because we're going to start filming soon and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, cool, maybe we'll talk soon. And again, I didn't know because, again, at the time, I really wanted to try to, you know, do something with the WWE or in the future. And I didn't want something to ruin it. But so finally we started talking over contract stuff. They got me, we started talking about contract stuff, but I kept like kind of putting it off. I put it off for so long. And then like, I want to say it was like a Wednesday and we were supposed to start filming on that Thursday, like the next day. And we're still like talking over contract stuff. Cause I'm still so like, I don't know. I don't want to be part of something that's not cool. But then I guess that night we finally figured out, you know, some contract stuff and we finally came to an agreement. And he was like, all right, cool. We'll send you your flight in a little bit. And then within like 10 minutes, I had a flight out there. And so I had to pack up that night. And then again, like, I guess the rest is history. I went there and I saw everything and it just turned out to be like one of the coolest projects, you know, that, you know, has happened in wrestling in a long time, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cool and edgy and different and I just, it was so cool, and I was like, I'm glad I did it. I'm really glad. Again, and that's something that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do it for so long, but it just kind of came on me. And I guess the character that I am, the Prince Puma character, Conan, he was the one that was really like, hey, this is the kid. This is the guy that we need for this character. Like, from what they were telling, like the producers, they were telling them about the character. They're like, this kid would be great. And so I guess they really didn't have any other, like, backup options for that character. Like, it was, like, kind of me or nothing at the time. So, yeah, they went with me, and I like to think I, you know, played the character pretty well so far.
Yeah, you became champion. So, yeah, they, you know, they they put you over enough to give you the title. So, you know, of course, they obviously they have enough.
Well, the funny thing is,
there.
I don't know if you know, but the funny thing is, the whole first season, I didn't win any match except for the Aztec Warfare match,
mm-hmm.
and then when I won the actual championship. It was actually Aztec Warfare, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But before that, I don't think I won any match, every other match, except for one, me and Johnny tagged against the crew, but Johnny won. He was the legal guy. He got the pin, so I technically won. But other than that, I don't think I won a match.
So was it good working with Johnny Mundo?
Oh, man, it's so cool. Like, he's, like, the coolest dude ever. He's so, like, just down to earth and chill, and he's up to do anything, like, he can do anything because he's really good. But, man, yeah, it's been a blast. It's been nothing but a blast, like, to work with mm-hmm. him.
Is there anyone in the Federation, the promotion, that kind of gives you pointers? Or do you see yourself, you know, being a dozen years in the business now? Do you see yourself on the other end giving other people pointers?
I'm always, like, we have a couple agents like Chavo and Vampiro, and now Paul London's an agent, but, like, I'm always down for someone to give me any pointers, like anything I can take to try to become a little better. I'm down to know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, it's really weird because I still think of myself as the skinny little 15-year-old long-haired crappy Ricochet, like,
yeah.
But sometimes I do, like, find myself maybe giving someone, like, some pointers or something, just what I think, and they're like, yeah, you know, you make some sense, and they take it, and it's, you know, it's a pretty cool feeling, like, you just, I don't know, it's pretty cool. I don't, that's something that's really weird to me, too, but that's another mm-hmm. story, I guess. But, yeah, sometimes I, and some people will, like, when I'm on an indie show, like, sometimes they will, like, come up and ask me, hey, would you watch my match and give me some pointers or something, and that's even, like, pretty cool, like, someone's asking me to watch the match because they want to know, like, I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. You know, again, you know, just approaching the business from, you know, Matt, your boy, Matt Sydal, he's like that, too. Just, you know, he's been in the business for quite some time now. And just approaching the business from just a humble standpoint, I think, you know, to me, and I've been watching wrestling, you know, for three decades now, over three decades. And it's just to the point where just seeing wrestlers, you know, kind of go through the motions over the years and, you know, over the decades, and just people just continuing to keep that. You know, there's few people, I've interviewed dozens of people in this show over the past 4 years, and just, you know, I can tell the ones who just are kind of going through the motions, and I can really tell the ones who still, you know, appreciates the heck out of this business. You know, like, for instance, Christopher Daniels, you know, he's in his mid-40s now. He's been doing this for, you know, 20 years, and you can tell that he still loves the business, you know, and that
I
appreciate
when I'm on, like,
the heck out of
show
that.
With Christopher Daniels, mm-hmm. I love him because he's so positive and just so cool, He's definitely one of those guys for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love that. I absolutely love that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's my encouragement to you, and, you know, just to keep that humble spirit. You know, people notice that stuff, and, you know, it's great to have. So what are your plans in the future? Season 2 of Lucha Underground debuts next week.
Starts next Wednesday.
So what are your plans?
Man, we got some pretty cool things coming up this season. Like, of course, like, everyone knows that Rey Mysterio's on this season. I mean, we got some pretty cool stuff, like some new characters, and of course, you know, everyone's interested in seeing if Prince Puma's going to regain his title back from Memuertes.
Yes, Memuertes.
But, man, it's really cool. We did some really cool stuff, and I'm actually really excited. There's actually a big, big surprise this season that has to do with some Prince Puma. There's a big, like, so get ready for that. But, yeah, man, you got to sit back and, you know, buckle up because it's going to be a wild ride. So, but, man, I wish I could, like, talk more in depth about it because I went through so bad, but I can't, obviously. But,
right.
Man, it's going to be pretty cool. Like, it's pretty excited, like, that, you know, things turned out really well and it caught on and everyone really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah,
but,
definitely.
I think season two is going to, you know, it's going to kick right off where we left from and going to keep, you know, keep people wanting more, you know, week after week.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I interviewed Son of Havoc last year, and he put...
Also one of the nicest guys on the planet.
Oh, yeah, great guy, great guy. Yeah, he's another person who's been around, you know, the business for a while
for
and still just
and
absolutely
still
loves it.
Humble.
Yeah, yep, absolutely,
yeah.
Very humble. And he, you know, he put over Lucha Underground heavily, and, you know, it's great, and, you know, it's great to see an alternative, a successful alternative televised show. You know, we mentioned Wrestling Society X. I watched every single episode, you know, back then of Wrestling Society X, and I actually liked it. I liked it. I was actually upset that they closed it down and shut it down because I liked the, you know, the exploding, you know, tables and things like that, and the feuds between Six or X-Pac or him and Vampiro, and then when Colt Cabana was Matt Classic, and then when Teddy Hart was just flipping everywhere, you know, from every angle of the building. So it was great. I loved it. I appreciated that type of wrestling. And so, you know, like you said, we see that, you know, 15 years later almost, you know, we see that in a different style, but it's alternative enough because it comes with an amazing storyline, the theatrics, the drama, the suspense. It's like, you know, it's a wrestling show, but it's more of a theater meets wrestling. And that's what makes Lucha Underground so different than
that's the thing, because Lucha Underground isn't just a wrestling show.
Right.
It's actually categorized as a TV drama about a wrestling company.
Yep.
So it's actually just it's a TV drama that happens to be about a wrestling company. That's actually that's the technical way to describe. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And it's successful. And it's successful.
Yeah.
And we've got season two coming up. So let everybody know where you can be found.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much every social media site is King Ricochet, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or what have you. You can find me at King Ricochet. I'm always posting something, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or something. I'm always talking about something, whether it's, I don't know, cat jokes or something wrestling. I'm always posting about something. So, yeah, follow me on those. And, it's pretty much all I do is because I just wrestle and I come home and I sit and I play video games and get on my social media stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. My last question to you, who wins Super Bowl 50?
Who wins? I was actually just having a conversation about this today, and we had this big long conversation, and then at the very end of it, like when it all came down to it, we were just like, anybody but the Patriots. Like, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is, anybody but the Patriots, please. Because like I said, I would like to see Fitzgerald have a ring. I would like to see Peyton Manning walk away with a ring, a last ring. I'd like to see Cam Newton have a ring. I would like to, like, just anybody but the Patriots, please.
Oh, man, I cannot agree with you more. See, my thing is I'm an AFC guy because I'm a huge Titans fan. So
I'm an NFC
guy. Yeah, see, because I have the AFC favoritism, I want Denver to win. You know, but the thing
is, I guess
I would
have to say I want the Panthers to win.
Okay.
Because they're technically like my second team that like I've liked for a long time. My first, I'm an Eagles fan, which is horrible. I know I'm an Eagles fan first,
especially with Chip leaving
for a long time. Yes, I actually like that. But I just remember for the longest time, I've always kind of liked the Panthers, too. I've always kind of liked the Panthers.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was the colors. I think I've always liked the colors since I was young. Or since they started using them colors.
Mm-hmm.
But then,
the funny thing about that is that Chip Kelly, you know, a lot of people are happy that he's leaving, you know, Philly. But, you know, there's talks of him actually going to Tennessee as a coach, and so
yeah,
I don't know how to feel about that.
I think he just got signed at the 49ers, I think.
Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was San Francisco that he just got signed to. But as soon as he got let go, like the same day, because I love sports. I write for Sports Illustrated. So yeah, I love sports, and so
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that I always get alerts on my phone, and like within a couple of hours of him being released from Philly, there was an article that came out of, you know, Tennessee now talking with Chip Kelly, and
we would have got Mariota.
Nah, yeah, you know, that's my thing. Is it's like, of course, I didn't want Wisenhunt because he didn't, you know, he stunk up the place, and so I wanted a different coach, but I didn't want Chip Kelly. I want Gruden. I want Gruden to come back. I want Gruden to get off his couch and get back into the field. I really want Gruden.
Yeah, I guess I really didn't know who I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just really didn't want Chip Kelly to mess up the team anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Because
you know,
it wasn't the same Philly offense. It wasn't the same at all.
I agree. Well, we shall see. We shall see you win Super Bowl 50. You know, you're going for the Panthers. I'm going for the Broncos. Maybe we'll text each other and kind of brag and see whoever
maybe
wins.
Maybe it'll be the Panthers-Broncos Super Bowl.
There you go. Absolutely. And also, everybody who is listening right now, just be sure to tune in. Season 2 of Lucha Underground debuts next week on what network?
The El Rey.
Yes, sir. Greatly appreciate you, sir. And you have a great evening. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. On mine. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear. We've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash Wunderkind with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, using God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep. You all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the number is took back, we reppin' that work pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Episode 199, ladies and gentlemen. Who better to have it with Prince Puma, aka Ricochet, former Lucha Underground champion. Of course, we had Mac scheduled some scheduling conflicts. Him and I talked today. To get a future date set, and we'll let you know about that, of course. Next week, we got some amazing stuff planned for episode 200. We will let you know. Be sure to follow at Crave Wrestling to stay tuned about announcements this week between now and next week, 200th episode. Be sure to stay tuned at Crave Wrestling for announcements. So I'm just excited about what's going on and what we have in store for episode 200. But as far as tonight is concerned, what an amazing interview by Ricochet, also known as Prince Puma from Lucha Underground. Great guy, humble guy, and I can appreciate the heck out of that. Absolutely. Yeah, this guy is just absolutely amazing and just a wonderful person, a wonderful addition to the Lucha Underground, and just a really good story about the Lucha Underground. So yeah, Derek, he was absolutely awesome, and I'm just excited about what Lucha Underground has for him.
I mean, this is one of the interviews. I mean, it was just absolutely, you can't fake this, ladies and gentlemen. Pancakes and Power Slams. We're in the midst of a new generation of absolutely amazing interviews, commentary, everything we've got. And, I mean, this guy, Magnus Ricochet, he just put us on the map to let us know that this is what wrestling is. And one of the best interviews. I mean, he's just so humble, knowledgeable. I mean, you just can't get over the fact that he was on our show. Everybody was listening. We're a wrestling nation. I mean, Lucha Underground, it's probably some of the best wrestling you've ever seen. WWE cannot compete with it. TNA, obviously, is a joke. So, I mean, let's continue on. And this guy, it was an honor to have him on our show. Absolutely a fact.
Yeah, speaking of TNA, real quick. Oh, man, TNA. So, Derek and I, we have, occasional lunch and or dinner, and we usually converse with each other about the show throughout the week through text, just going over some ideas and formatting. And so we actually got a chance to meet up today, and we watched TNA. And, as a journalist, I still watch TNA strictly for the factor of, watching wrestling. And I just love wrestling, and I write about wrestling, and I get paid to do so. And so, yeah, speaking of that, amazing opportunities, even more amazing opportunities that I'm going to announce to you all coming up here. But... So basically, you push relatively young, up and coming. People don't really know him as Derek Bateman. He really didn't do much in NXT, WWE NXT when he was Derek Bateman. He didn't go far at all. But so you rebuild him as EC3. You bring him to TNA. You make him a star. You make him a main event star. And so basically, to get this pop TV audience to gain the arousal of the TNA fans that you have, we were just watching and discussed as Matt Hardy turned against his fans and became the two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion. One, why in the world would you have a tournament just to make EC3 champ again when he could have just had it in the first place? And two, here's the thing. I desire to have Matt Hardy on my show, okay? But why in the world would you try to develop a company with a heel Matt Hardy? Now, his heel run in Ring of Honor was actually pretty good when he was with Scum. But, Matt Hardy's, he's approaching his mid-40s, and he's to the point now where carrying a company as a heel with Tyrus, bad idea. Just a bad idea for TNA to have, and just a bad idea to gain viewers. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with wrestling, period. And this is one of the problems I see with TNA. So TNA, there's companies that are innovative enough to gain viewers because they have people saying, "Ooh, watch this." Two companies that come in mind initially are Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor. Then you have the other two televised companies, WWE and TNA, which spend too much time on saying, okay, well, we have these many viewers. Let's make sure to cater to these many viewers. That's where the problem comes, because you're not gaining more viewers. And in fact, as you look at WWE's numbers, you're actually losing, well, TNA's too, you're losing viewers. That doesn't help when you're trying to cater to your viewers and you're losing them because you're developing product that's not exciting or suspenseful. There's nothing exciting about a double turn. Well, maybe the fact of EC3 possibly becoming a babyface. I mean, I don't know if his character is developed enough to become babyface, but it is. I mean, that is the only glimpse of interest that I had from that. Matt Hardy is TNA World Champion. Respectfully, will not put butts in seats other than the ones they have in the seats right now. And I think some of them actually got up out of their seat when they found that out. But who really cares about a Matt Hardy heel turn and World Championship reign right now, Derek?
Oh, goodness. And it's just a thing that it kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like before the show, I mean, Tyrus was going off about Jeff Hardy said that he was stupid and didn't know how to read or write. And Matt Hardy was there in the ring with him. And even Jeff Hardy kind of disrespected Matt a little bit. But they seemed to be okay with that. And so, but at the end of the show, Tyrus comes out and saves Matt Hardy, and everything's okay and kosher between the two. So where does that put Matt and Jeff? And again, why is Matt Hardy, again, a TNA champion? This is why TNA is in the tubes. I ask exactly what you said. There's no reason. I mean, this booking is absolutely ridiculous. And you've got a new start, TNA. This is a new start for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're the same TNA. Show that we saw 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it, yeah, it stunk then and it stinks now.
Same show, different network. Exactly right. So I had the pleasure to attend Raw Live last night, or Monday night, rather. And so, Derek, skim through, you know, go through the evening and all the matches. And I'll just, you know, we'll give some commentary on it, and I'll give some live commentary on it. And then we'll go into the flavor of the week, just really quick, the bold predictions of who the surprise entrants may be. And then we'll go to the predictions for Royal Rumble. So what happened on Raw, Derek?
What happened on Raw? I mean, Columbus, Ohio, that's great, hometown. Roman Reigns starts my night off, and it's comes down to the crowd, and we've seen that a million times. And then all of a sudden, Y2J comes out, of all people, Y2J comes out. And him and Roman are kind of friends and buddies. If I don't remember, it was a few pay-per-views ago, it was Ambrose and Roman teamed up with Y2J, and Y2J lost a match for him. So all of a sudden, you know, they had that chip on the shoulder, and now they're buddies. Anyway, I guess that's swept under the rug. League of Nations comes out, stirs up a little bit. Not a whole lot comes out, but then again, all of a sudden, Y2J, he can deem a match, Rusev against Roman Reigns. And Y2J can name himself the special guest referee. And he was jumping around having fun doing cartwheels. I mean, for Y2J, the cartwheels are absolutely horrible. I can do an amazing cartwheel. I'll show you later. And the rest of Pancakes and Power Slants and see the best cartwheel in the world from me. After that, yeah, we got Brie and Natalya. It was kind of a squash match. I mean, it was Natalya's debut back after being gone for a while. I mean, Brie was just absolutely taken advantage of and just disgusted and discarded. So, again, not too much of a Divas match there. Dudley's and Ryback. against the Wyatt family. Wyatt family, again, decimated Dudleys and Ryback. The thing with the Dudleys is they haven't really been that relevant. Okay, on SmackDown, they might win a match or two, but for the most part, their comeback has just been an absolute turmoil. Absolute disgrace. Doesn't remind me of Dudleyville when the Wyatt family goes and gets Dudleyville. Just doesn't really make much sense anymore. So, I mean, why keep making this relevant? But again, I guess it pushes the Wyatt family, even though there's not a whole lot to say there. Big Show and Heath Slater. Big Show wins. Another kind of a squash match, trying to push the social media around. With that right there, it was great, but now it's starting to get kind of silly and kind of redundant. Not a huge fan of it this week. Maybe next week. They just really need to start building their stars a little better, making better skits and promos. The guys have talent. They can make a really good comedy sketch out of this, kind of like how The New Day kind of won fans over with their comedy routines. Vince McMahon, Stephanie Drell, Roman Reigns is the first entrant to the Royal Rumble. The segment itself, I thought, was stupid. I don't understand the point of it. He couldn't open the capsules, and he would throw them down, throw them back in. He drew Roman Reigns' name three times. What are you trying to accomplish there, Vince? It was kind of a wasted spot. You could add a meaningful match, but instead you just kind of throw stupid with stupid and didn't make a whole lot of sense there. Ambrose and Kalisto lost to Alberto and Sheamus. Almost kind of building up to the Sheamus and Ambrose feud going on. Alberto and Kalisto. Kalisto won it on a fluke. I don't really think that WWE really meant it to mean much. So I'm pretty sure Alberto Del Rio is going to win. We're going to have the Royal Rumble updates here coming soon as far as what our predictions are. Then we have Uso against Big E. Big E wins. Usos are so irrelevant now. I don't really want to see a whole lot of them. I mean, they're boring. Do something to really overrun, kind of make them look better than what they have, because they're just kind of a shame and a sham. Boring. You need to go away from the rituals and, I don't know, wear kilts or something. Just make yourself a little more fun. Ascension, Stardust, Breeze, Mark Henry, Titus, Neville, and Truth. A decent match, I guess. I mean, really, again, there wasn't much point to it. It's just kind of a filler. But that's, again, the highlight reel, Y2J, Heyman comes out, and Lesnar's out, then Reigns, League of Nations, Wyatt's, there's a whole cluster of things going on in this. Again, the build-up to Royal Rumble, which I'm kind of conceiving to be one of the best pay-per-views of 2016 so far, that's not saying a lot because this is January. However, the Raw leading up to it, the go-home show of Raw, to me, it was maybe a C+, a C-. I'm more thinking that the Royal Rumble itself is just going to be full of surprises. I'm still confident in the fact that it is going to be amazing. And I'm not going to fall from that. We'll find out when we talk next Tuesday. However, Super Bowl predictions, the Cardinals against the Patriots, will probably win. Back to you, Chris.
Yuck. No Patriots. No Patriots at all. So trivia question. Here's the thing. Three-part trivia question right now. We're going to celebrate the Royal Rumble runner-ups. There's a tongue twister for you. So the runner-up. Who was the runner-up in 1988? Who was the runner-up in 2002? And who was the runner-up in 2011? All right. 1988, 2002, and 2011. We're going to play runner-up trivia today. There's the three-part for the first trivia question. The three runner-ups for 88, 2002, and 2011. So I was there. I was there at Raw. There's been a lot of reports of the crowd being dead. Now, I didn't notice that. I thought the crowd was actually pretty fine. The past, I would say, year or so, probably 2 years, Columbus has been more of a smarky crowd. But, you know, it was very – Columbus, the Columbus crowd was very pro-Reigns, which was a bit surprising, but very pro-Reigns. I think the deadness with the Lesnar ovations was a little flat, but, I mean, Columbus just isn't really a city, so to speak, although I did buy a shirt as a collector's item. But, yeah, I mean, it was okay. Interesting take by Jericho. He just walks right out the ring. I broke a story last week about some information that was received on my phone that could be planting the seeds for a Jericho heel turn. Also, I wrote that on PW Mania, and of course, We Are Wrestling, WAWNation.com, is also covered with my credit on WrestleZone.com. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. So we'll see. You know, we may be seeing a Jericho heel turn, a possible feud with Dean Ambrose, which, you know, would be very interesting there. So, but it was pretty interesting. I liked it. I didn't have a problem with Raw. I actually enjoyed myself. Another teaser that I also reported just about the same sites. We saw that Lesnar and Wyatt may be starting a program. Of course, that's been talked about for weeks, really a couple of months now. And it's very interesting. So, yeah, One Man Gang 88, 2002 was Kurt Angle, and 2011 was one of my favorite runner-ups, Santino Marella. Next three pack of runner-ups, 1991, 1997, 2013. 1991, 1997, and 2013. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it was a great Raw. I think it's one of those things that just being there, you know, amongst just a live crowd just kind of skewed my critique of it. If I would have probably watched it at home and it would have been a different city, I think probably my take on it would have been basically the same as a lot of the other people, but I didn't get a chance to watch it, you know, outside of me being there live. But I'm sure that if I would watch it over, it'd probably have the same type of feel as what a lot of other people are saying as far as it being dead. So I can't see how dead it is because I'm not outside of the arena. There's a lot of chairs, there's a lot of chants, there's a lot of talking in the arena, so it wasn't just a flat crowd. There were some cheers and there was some boos, so wasn't very bad to me. Decent go home show to Raw, because the thing is, it kind of set the table for a couple of feuds. You know, Jericho walks out, and especially, you know, the Wyatt family with Lesnar, you know, laying them out. And I know they just kind of wanted to make the Wyatt family be important, you know, members of the Royal Rumble. But that's as much as a tease that you can get, you know, for them to kind of lay out. Well, not really kind of. They did lay out Brock Lesnar. So that's a very humbling thing for Brock Lesnar, which we really don't see much at all. So I was okay with it. And, yeah, it was a good time. So, again, 1991. 1997 and 2013. 91, 97, 2013. Flavor of the week, let's go.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right, so every year, basically, the Royal Rumble gives us some very great surprises. Some not so great. Some just meh. Some you just kind of sit there and say, this person really could have had a spot filled by somewhere. I think it was one year that Jimmy Wang Yang was one of the surprise entrants. And I just really sat there and said, are you kidding me now? You basically, I mean, again, no disrespect for Jimmy Wang Yang, but Jimmy Wang Yang was not a legend in anybody's federation. Why in the world will I be excited about Jimmy Wang Yang coming to the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant? So, yeah, The Godfather came a few years back. That was decent. I think probably 11 was the most awesomest surprise entrance when they had both Booker T and Kevin Nash in the same Royal Rumble. That was absolutely amazing. And that was two markout moments. And, of course, 13 when Chris Jericho came back. But, Derek, think about what three people. You can even say three people who you would like to be surprise entrants. What three people do you think would be surprise entrants in the Royal Rumble this year?
The Royal Rumble this year, obviously, I mean, everyone's been talking about AJ Styles coming in, members of the Bullet Club. I mean, that would be absolutely phenomenal. Are you kidding me? That would be great. There's been rumblings. It won't happen. They said Shawn Michaels. But, yeah, again, that's a fantasy. But honestly, just to see AJ Styles in the WWE, are you kidding me? That would be absolutely mind-blowing. And it's kind of a fantasy that we've all had for a while, I think, for you know, since AJ Styles has been around. I mean, this guy is one of those phenomenal athletes. And to be in WWE, he's almost like an anonymous, like Sting. I mean, he's you know been around different territories and you know big TNA, ROH, finally going to get his due in WWE, and he's still in you know prime condition. So, I mean, that's it. You know, Nakamura, I mean, just there's so – that would be, again, and it's kind of a shame, honestly, to talk about it on the internet, how it's kind of – they talk about it, and they kind of blew the top on it. I mean, if it was a surprise, that's – to me, that would have been absolutely the icing on the cake. But now that we know about it and we can think about it and speculate it, I mean, again, to me, that's just absolutely phenomenal to see AJ Styles in the WWE. I mean, that's just got to be a saving grace for him. And, I mean, it's absolutely – it's his due, and so that's great. So, I mean, that's what I'm about. I'm excited. I am actually so excited for the Royal Rumble. It's amazing. And I haven't felt that way since I was 12 years old.
Yeah, I think it's going to – I really think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be great. I don't see AJ – I don't see AJ coming. He may, but there's reports that he may wait until Monday on Raw because he kind of leaked it and you know was in the event at the UK. So, but you know that just may be a swerve of you know AJ may come and I've said this many times I just don't want AJ or just really any member of the Bullet Club to come in the Royal Rumble unless they just obliterate everybody who's in the ring at the particular time and just walk out. That's the best thing that I think. As far as my three that I can think of that I would desire, real quick, another trivia question. 2000, 1995, and 2006. 2000, 1995, and 2006, runner-ups. All right, so I think it's – okay, so I'm still going to go with AJ, even though he was scheduled to be a surprise and then they're pushing it back because people know about it. I still think it's a swerve. I still think we'll get AJ. That's going to be my first surprise. Nakamura, I don't think people would know him enough. I think a next NXT run would be good for Nakamura because – you know, of course, I'm a huge Japanese wrestling fan, but there's not a lot of people I would just say only a fraction of people are actually New Japan fans that watch WWE. So him being an entrant wouldn't really help his character too much. So I'm going to go with AJ. Of course, you got a blast from the past. I'm going to go somebody like Dugan. Hacksaw Jim Duggan would be he would be my surprise entrance. You have AJ, you have Duggan, and you have who do you bring back? There has to be a very interesting signing that you bring back.
Vader
that can still wrestle. Vader would be interesting, but I'm not very interested in Vader. How about this? You ready? Scott Steiner. You bring back Scott Steiner. Yeah. So AJ Styles, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Scott Steiner are my three picks for surprise entrances. So someone just asked, what's the final trivia question? The year 2000, the year 1995, and the year 2006. Those are that's the final trivia question for tonight. You Big Show 2000, Bulldog 95, and Orton 2006. Fantastic. I love it. All right, real quick, let's go to the Royal Rumble predictions. Very interested about the Royal Rumble predictions. And so right now on the card, you have a few title matches that were and let's just really real quick, let's just go through all of the Rumble card real quick, and then we'll have the predictions, and we'll be all set for Mania. So let's start off with the New Day versus the Usos for the tag titles. Who wins?
New Day, obviously.
Okay, we got to be quick. Usos. I'm going to go Usos. I want New Day to win, but Usos. Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
I'm going to go Charlotte. I think we'll still get I think there's still a little bit more juice in this to squeeze out. Del Rio and Kalisto.
Del Rio's going to win that one.
I agree, Del Rio. You know, this is kind of like an unofficial Night of Champions because all of these matches outside of the Royal Rumble, including the Royal Rumble, are for championship matches. So this is like they're not plugging it that way, but this is the same as – this is actually better than Night of Champions because literally all of the matches are for titles so far as opposed to Night of Champions. There's like usually one or two matches that aren't for a title. Ambrose and Owens.
I almost think Owens might win this one.
I'm going to go Ambrose. I think we got a feud coming up, and I think he'll go into WrestleMania as Intercontinental Champion. And then finally, who wins the Royal Rumble match? Who becomes WWE or who retains the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, Derek?
I think Brock Lesnar is going to win, and there'll be a three-way against Reigns and Wyatt.
Huh, interesting.
Okay. At WrestleMania.
Lesnar wins. My pick is The Game, Triple H. He will be coming. Check out my article on Real Wrestling, WAWNation.com, about Triple H. It's called What's the Big Problem with Triple H Being a World Heavyweight Champion? I gave some stats on that that are pretty interesting. He hasn't been WWE champion in 7 years, and he hasn't been world heavyweight champion in 11 years. So of course the world heavyweight championship is no longer, but I mean it's been 7 years since he's been champion. So, you know, all the bearing can go aside just a little bit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Prince Puma and Ricochet, for an amazing, amazing interview. Thank you all the listeners who continue to support us. You enjoy the Royal Rumble. We'll be back next week to talk some Super Bowl and some Royal Rumble as well. 200 episode next week. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Have a good night. Enjoy the Rumble. Bye-bye.